Well, that song is appropriate in our lives, that we need the Lord every single hour. The sad thing, I think, is for most of us that hours go by that we don't even think about our need for the Lord. We get so wrapped up in this world and the things of this world that are the truth of the song doesn't necessarily match our daily actions, our daily thought processes. And we can so easily get wrapped up in the world. And this morning we're going to look at James 4, the cure for worldliness. James 4. And I've just taken a little break from Acts after our revival services, just to kind of try and help us with helping those services to be profitable. Hopefully, some of you completed your assignment last week. Anybody complete their assignment from last week? You'd have to remember what the assignment was to have completed it. Anybody complete their assignment for last week? Anybody remember? Well, it wasn't last week. I'm sorry. It was because last week we had the Mavars here, right? It was the last week, the Mavars. So it would have been 2 weeks ago that there would have been an assignment. That's even harder, right? An assignment from 2 weeks ago. Anybody remember what the assignment was? In Sunday school, we talked about returning. The idea that our fathers sometimes do things that, you know, we're supposed to look at them and not do what they did sometimes. How many of you can admit now that you have a problem remembering? All of us, right? We all do, because we can't remember 2 weeks ago what the assignment was. What was the assignment? That was the message, but it's not the assignment. That was her assignment. Okay. Okay, good. That, you know, was this 3 weeks ago that I'm remembering? I didn't go back and look at, maybe it's 3 weeks ago. Does anybody remember, did anybody do the assignment? Not witnessing. Sorry, I'm really making it hard for you. Okay, this was the assignment. And it might have been 2 weeks ago, it might have been 3 weeks ago. I didn't go back and look at exactly. The assignment was to write down two things that you're struggling, or one thing that you're struggling with. I think I was thinking two, but write down one thing that you're struggling with and look up verses to memorize to work on. Nobody remembers that. Does anybody remember that now? My wife remembers it. Connie remembers it. So, if you guys were in school, how many of you would have got a passing grade? You all flunked. Because some of you can remember the assignment. Doesn't sound like many of you did the assignment. We're done with the message for today. You know why I'm gonna, why should I just quit right now? Because nobody's gonna do anything about it anyway. Thanks, Renee. I'm not saying I would remember any better than you. I'm not trying to make it out like I did remember, but I'm the pastor. I should remember, right? I can't remember which week it was. It was 2 weeks ago? Okay. 2 weeks ago. I really think that you should do the assignment. I really think that you should find that one thing that you struggle with the most. I'm going to try and remember. If I can remember, I'm going to ask you next week. So, the assignment is, the thing you struggle with the most, Mark it, write it down, whatever. Go to the Bible and look up verses that you can memorize to work on that. What are some things? Be honest, if you want to be. Is anybody willing to say something that you struggle with? And don't get like, I don't want your life story. But what are things that everybody struggles with that you could work on? Being slow to speak. James talks about being slow to speak. In other words, we often say, let our mouth fly before our brain speaks, before our brain works. What else? What do we do? What is something that all Christians probably have a problem with? Forgiveness, forgiving people. A lot of people have a problem with forgiveness, with forgiving other people for their sins against them. Bible says we are to forgive them how many times? 70 times 7, which is realistically just to infinity and beyond, as Buzz Lightyear would say. How many know who Buzz Lightyear is? What else? Something else. Come on, there's got to be other things that you can say. Don't tell me things that you can't say. What are some things that you can that we all struggle with? Pride. Do you think we could all work on pride? Do you think we could all memorize some verses on pride? Contentment. It's easy not to be content. What else?
Murmuring.
Gossip. Our tongue. What's James say our tongue is like? A world of iniquity. He talks about a ship, the rudder of a ship. James, if you have problems with your tongue, read James. In fact, James, the only reason I'm kind of going back to some passages in James, I read through there a while back, and it's like slapping me upside the face, one right after another. And it's like James is just a super convicting book. Go read James. I'm just ahead in our Bible reading through the year. I just moved ahead. I'm just trying to get done early so I can start again. I want to get back to the beginning again. That's how you should feel when you're reading the Bible. It's like, man, it's been so long since I've been to Genesis. I want to get back there, but I got to finish up my yearly reading before I can get back there. You should want to. It's like, man, it's been so long. It's been months since I've been back in Genesis. Well, your assignment, class, if you don't want to fail next week, how many of you want to fail at church? And the church is not a good, but how many of you want to fail in your Christian life? None of you say you want to fail. But if you're not actively pursuing righteousness, then you're failing. If you're not actively trying to, what do we call it when we become more Christ-like? It is our what? Sanctification. If you're not growing, if you're not being sanctified, if you're not being conformed to the image of Christ, if you're not actively working on that, you're going backwards. So, the assignment is, I would like everybody out here to be able to say, raise your hand and say, I completed the assignment. Marilyn, help me remember to ask them if they completed their assignment. So I'm going to ask you next week, did you complete your assignment? It's how hard is it to complete that assignment? Really? Realistically, though, how hard is it? How hard is it to identify a sin that I have a problem with and look up two verses and start to memorize them? How hard is that? It's not very hard at all. All of you have the time to do that. So let's do that this next week. Lord, help us as we get into your word today. I thank you that you are a kind and gracious and long-suffering God. And thank you that you are slow to anger. Father, we thank you that you care for us, that you gave us your word. Lord, you had men, that godly men that you work through your Holy Spirit to write it. And I thank you for the people that are here today. I thank you for their faithfulness in coming out to the services today. I pray that you would bless them for that. I pray that you would help them to be obedient to your word as we look into it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. James 4, let's just start reading in verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have. You and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, let ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Stop right here for a second. Have I helped any of you? If you think a problem in your life could be pride, what is a verse you could go to? Number 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. All right, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What do you have there already if you want to struggle with pride? You already have two verses. You already have your two verses down, if that's what you're struggling with. I would encourage you to look up others of your own. But you have two verses already that you can go to. The cure for worldliness. You know, worldliness is something that I think we all struggle with. Verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And worldliness is something that every person struggles with. All of us do. There's things about this world that attract us. There's things about this world that attract us that we kind of like to be, we want to be like that. We want to do those things. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? Abides forever. So, love not the world. Love not the world. Let me ask you a question. Is there any area where you love the world? Is there any area in your life that you love the world? How are you going to qualify that? If I love the world, let's say, is there any area in your life that the world comes before God? Is there anything in the world that comes before God? What about your husband or your wife? Do you put them above God? Would that be loving the world? It would. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What is there? What types of things could there be in your life that you would say, that comes before God? I don't know, because each one of you may have a different answer. But what is there in your life that you'd have to say, you know, that comes before God? What are some of the tests of something coming before God? What are the tests of something being worldly that comes before God? How would you set a standard of something that I love more than God? Okay, what I give more time to. That's something that can come before God. And now you each have to qualify, what is it in this world that I'm taking more time for that than for God? Now I realize all of us have to work. Well, in today's society, you don't have to work. You can just draw that extra $600 or whatever. But all of us are supposed to have to work. We realize there's time restraints on things like that. But what is there that when it comes to making choices for God or choices for those things in the world, what comes first? You can really gauge your love, what you love more, by where you spend your time. How much time are you spending in the Word of God? Or what takes the place of that? You see, the world is something that we like to say worldliness is. Give me some things that Christians would say worldliness is. Smoking and drinking, that's worldliness. What else? Wealth. That's worldliness. Not always, but the desire for wealth, the desire to be rich. Who else? Does James talk about that? What else could be worldliness? Pleasures of the world. Okay. Boy, we don't have a very long list, do we, in our church? We don't have to worry about doing too many. We can do a lot of things and not be worldly. What I'm trying to get at is that worldliness is more than that list. Worldliness is putting love for anything in the world above, above love for God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We love whatever it is more than we love God. And that's a big problem. I really think, without thinking it over for hours and days, I really think that's one of our biggest problems. Is that we love the world more than we love God. And those things that we are following after and we're pursuing, they eat up we put all our devotion into those things, all our love into those things, and God just doesn't rate. What are we going to do if we have put all of our love into things of the world? What are we going to do? Well, in verse 7 it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The cure for worldliness is submitting to God. He's exposed the problem of being friends with the world earlier, that puts us in the place of enmity with God. When you're a friend of the world, you become the enemy of God. So submit yourselves therefore to God. The idea behind the word submit is to place ourselves under the another's authority. Put yourself under God's authority. It's to be subordinate. If you're a good military person in the military, if you're a good private, you just do what your sergeant says or your lieutenant says. You just follow his orders to be subordinate. It's like, yes, sir. I mean, a military, I'm not saying there's never a time when for some reason they might disobey, but pretty much, if the military is going to work, you've got to submit to your leadership. Everybody can't be doing, as Connie mentioned in Sunday school, that which is right in their own eyes. And when we love the world, every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. When we have something in the world that we love more than God, it's saying, no, I'm a soldier in God's army, but as a private over here, I think that this is the better thing for me to be doing. This is the better thing for me to love. And yes, I will say that I worship God. I'll say those things, but my heart is really over here. And so this platoon and this platoon, this person's over here doing this thing. This person's over here doing that thing. This person's over here doing this. And the sergeant's like, the lieutenant comes to the sergeant and says, where are all your guys? What are they doing? We're supposed to be doing this today. I'm sorry, but they all have other things that they thought were more important today. They wouldn't submit to me today. They see these things and they think, well, that's what I should be doing. When we are servants of Christ, we submit to Him. We do what He says to do. Submit yourselves there for God. Because God resists the proud in verse 6. Those who submit. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Those who submit, God gives grace to. Those who want to do their own thing and resist, God resists. If you're going to do battle with worldliness in your life, if you're going to be a Christian who loves the Lord and loves His things, you're going to have to submit. You're going to have to submit. We don't like that word, do we? I mean, you go into a more liberal church and preach submission to your husband, submission to your pastor, submission to authority. What are you going to get? You're going to get a bunch of frowns. People aren't going to like that. Because people don't like to submit. And you know what? I think in our lives, we don't like to submit to God. We don't like to submit to God. Let me ask you, how are you at submitting to God? Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God more cares about the submissiveness of your heart. The next thing that we're to do is not just submit to God, but resist the devil. To take a stand against the devil is to place ourselves in agreement with God. He is resisting the proud, and if we are worldly, we've been resisting God and submitting to Satan. If we're worldly, we're resisting God and submitting to Satan. To resist means to take a stand against. It means to resist an attack by the enemy. Satan is your enemy, but sometimes we live as if he's on our side. He wants to attack believers. He wants to stop believers. The problem is, we're talking about a battle, and many Christians want to walk a middle ground. They want to love the world while still worshiping God. Can you truly worship God while you're loving the world? You can't. In World War I, what was it called? You got the German lines over here. You got the Allies over here. What was the ground in the middle? No man's land. And when we love the world, there's things in our life that we love about the world, and we're following those things, and they're reducing our love for God. It's like we're living in no man's land. How safe was it in no man's land? Very, very dangerous to be in no man's land. Because you're in the middle between two enemies that are shooting at each other. And anything that moved out there got shot at. From both sides. You're in the middle of no man's land. Satan's shooting at you, and God is resisting you. Satan's darts are flying at you, and God is resisting you. That's not a good place to be. We're supposed to resist the devil. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world." Satan is out there to devour you. You need to resist. How can you resist Satan? I've already given you the answer. How can you resist Satan? Okay, draw nigh to God. Good. That's out of the scripture. But what did I give you already to help you resist Satan? An assignment. That assignment I gave you 2 weeks ago was to help you resist Satan. It's like if you're in the platoon, I want to be the guy that they give the 50 cal to. I want the big gun. Each private gets a certain gun. Some get, I don't know what all the new guns are, an M16. And some get a rocket launcher or something. And some have all these different weapons. What are those weapons for? To repel the enemy. I've tried to give you a weapon to repel the enemy. What's the best weapon to repel the enemy? God's word and prayer. And I've tried to give you a tool to say, okay, take God's word, hide it in your heart that I might not. Yeah. And that, what is that? That's resisting the devil. Some of you just aren't resisting. I mean, truthfully, right? In your life, are you resisting? Is there any amount of, I mean, the enemy's charging at you. We've already seen he's like a roaring lion. He's charging at you. Are you resisting? In order to resist, you have to identify where the enemy is attacking. Right? In order to resist, you have to identify, I mean, the lieutenant comes to the sergeant and says, hey, we think they're going to try and break through right here. This is probably our weakest point. And so you're just going to have to stand here and resist. You ever hear those stories about guys? It's like, but Sarge, we only have 5 guys left. And there's 100 of them coming. Sorry, you're just going to have to stay here and resist. And there's great stories about people who just, you know, did great things. I mean, Sergeant York, one guy. And if you've ever heard the story of Sergeant York, I mean, one guy just did, you know, I forget how many German soldiers he brings back. It's like, he's just out there resisting. One guy And he captures a bunch of the enemy. You're going to have to resist. And then you're going to have to draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Because if, you know, if you're in the military, I don't want to be the guy out here with five guys against hundreds. I want to be the guy over here, and there's a whole line of guys with 50 caliber machine guns. There's M1 Abrams tanks, and there's, you know, there's all these other Apache helicopters and all these things, and they're all right here in this. And I'm like sitting here, and it's like got my little M16, and it's like, boy, I'm surrounded by all the power of our army. Well, when we draw nigh to God, we've got all the power of the Godhead. We're right in the place that we want to be. In the middle of the battle, I never wanted to be in battle. I just like, I've seen enough shows about battle. I would never want to have been there. Thank you to all our veterans. Last week was Veterans Day. Thank you to all our veterans that served. Thank you for all those guys that gave their lives for us. Thank you for all those who gave up years of their life to serve and to sacrifice for our country. But when we serve, we want to be on the winning side. And when we draw nigh to God, we're already on the winning side. But don't you want to be as close to the power as you can be? If you're in the battle, don't you want to be where all the armor is and all the might is? Captain, can I go be over there? But what do we tend to do in our Christian lives? We wander away from the place of safety. We think we've got it under control. We can wander in no man's land and think that we'll never get hurt. And think that it won't affect us for the long term. It won't affect our family for the long term. Wandering in no man's land is a place that's dangerous. You want to draw nigh to God. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon in truth. Lord wants to be close to you. Draw nigh unto God and he will what? Draw nigh unto you. Close fellowship. When you desire that fellowship with God, when you desire to be in that place of safety, when you say, Lord, Satan's on the attack, I know my desires for worldliness, and I know that I'm easily drawn into that no man's land. I want that at times, Lord, in my life. For whatever reason, I know that's not the place to be, but I just get drawn in there, Lord. But I know the closer I am to you, the closer you'll be to me, and the better my life will be. You are safest in your life. Not saying that things won't happen, that you wonder why this is happening in my life, but spiritually the safest place to be is drawing closer to God and having him drawing closer to you. That's the safest place to be in your life. That's the cure for worldliness. That's the cure for the love of the world. As I draw nigh to God and he draws closer to me, and that fellowship gets to be sweet, and I desire more of God. The closer we get to God, the closer we want to be. Because he gives us that joy and that peace that comes with a relationship with him. But drawing nigh to God, we have to do some more things. Because to draw nigh to God, we have to cleanse our hands. sinners. You know, cleanse your hands, sinners. That's, James is pretty bold. A lot of people wouldn't have liked James because he just was pretty, he just basically says, cleanse hands. You notice in your Bible, what is the ye? It's in what? Italics. Why is it in italics? Because it's not really there. They put it in there for it to be readable. So what is James saying? Is it easier to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, or cleanse hands, sinners? It's even more bold. Cleanse hands, sinners. He's saying, if you're going to draw nigh to God, we have to deal with the sin in our lives. It's not wash your hands. It's deal with the sin in our on our hands, the sin in our lives. Purify your hearts. We need to work on our hearts because that's where all these desires for worldliness starts, is in our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And our hearts desire for that no man land. But James says you're going to have to work on the sin. You're going to have to work on your hearts. Because we can often be double-minded. We say that we love God, but we also love the world. And we can't love the world, otherwise the love of the Father is not in us. And it causes us to be so double-minded. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. In other words, those things that you have been pleasuring in, the things of the world that have drawn your attention, the things of the world that you've been happy doing, you need to see that as offensive to God. Those things in your life that you've placed before God, that you love more than God, you have to realize, I've been wrong. And it's got to cause you to come to the point where you mourn over that. I see my sinfulness. I see that it's putting me out there in no man's land. It's taking me away from God. It's putting me closer to Satan. And that's not where I want to be. In fact, I understand that those activities, God mourns over. It grieves God's Holy Spirit when I love the world. And I have to realize all those things that I think are more important than God, you have to get to the point where it grieves your heart. You know what's going to take for us to get there? What does it take to submit to somebody? Because we're often proud and we don't want to submit. What do we have to do? What does verse 8:10 say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble ourselves. It's humbling to admit that the things that we love and the things that we've put before God, we might have to admit to our family. We might have to admit to our wife. We might have to admit to other people. It's like, you know what? I quit doing that because I loved it more than God. Whatever that is, I love it more than God. Because I can just see that I place more importance on that than I do God. It takes away my time for God. It keeps that, whatever it is, it's keeping me from drawing close to God. And I have to humbly say, I was wrong. Three words that aren't in a lot of our vocabularies. I was wrong, or I have sinned. God, I was wrong to place so much importance on that. I was wrong to love that. I have sinned against you. Would you forgive me? And will you give me the grace, Lord? I'm going to try my hardest to draw closer to you. Lord, I know I'm going to fail because the things of this world are often calling me, and I often get my gaze off of you. I often let those things suck me in. But Lord, I want to humbly ask for your forgiveness for my sin. And Lord, I want to throw all that stuff on the altar and say, Lord, it doesn't mean you can't ever do any of those things again. Not everything in the world is sin. It's when it rises above God in importance in your life. And so, Lord, I'm going to throw that on the altar. And if you let me do some of it again, I'll be thankful. But if you never want me to do that again, I'll be thankful as well. Because whatever takes me away from you is something I'm going to cast off, and I'm going to want to draw closer to you, Lord. I just want to start gazing at you. So let me ask the question today. Are you willing to submit to God? Are you willing to take an honest inventory of your life and say, what is there in my life that I've placed above God, that I love more than God? Identify it. And then you really just need to decide, am I willing to get rid of it? Or am I willing to say, God, I think you'll still allow me to do this, but forgive me for my priorities are way wrong. Are you willing to submit to God, to draw nigh, to cleanse your sins, to see them as things that you should mourn over, and then humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord? Because he is the one that will lift you up. He is the one that can help you. And in the end, if you're a Christian, you're not going to be happy in no man's land. You're not going to be happy there. You'll be happier by God's side. You'll be happier sitting next to the Master. Remember Mary, Martha? Mary's like, I want to be by the Master. Martha was worried about all these other things. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today because we often are drawn by worldly things. We often see those things as what will bring us happiness. And they will at times bring us limited happiness, limited contentment. But Lord, worldly things in the long run will produce worldly results in our lives. They will tend to lead us away from God and his love. They will tend to lead our family away from God. Long run, Lord, we need to see that we need to be as close to you as we can get, because Satan's always pressing the attack. And the only way that we can stay right before you is to resist that and draw close to you. Help us, Lord. We need your help today. We need your strength today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.